Every once in a while, I get into a subject and I go online and do a little search. And the subject is sabbaticals. And I did a little search and I found out that there are a lot of sabbaticals that are taken by professors in theology. And read a little story on one that he was feeling pretty out of it, and he just needed a break from it all, and so he took a sabbatical. Well, he went in the world, did a number of things that he wanted to do. He got into some hobbies that he wanted to do, and he really felt refreshed. And he came back, and he said, "I'm like a new man." And he went back to work, and it was soon afterwards that they fired him. And I think the moral of the story is, you know, a sabbatical is not something to, you know, go away and be apart from Yahweh, to be away from studies. In fact, Scripture very plainly has commandments for us. And I guess the question has been asked before, kind of a rhetorical question or a question that doesn't need to be answered. Are commandments just suggestions? Let's go over to Exodus 23 and see what Yahweh says about sabbaticals and what we should be considering when we look at these. Exodus 23 and verse 10. "You shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its yield, but on the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat whatever they leave, and whatever they leave, the beasts of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and with your olive grove." That's pretty plain. I mean, we don't do a lot of agricultural growing. You know, each individual does not do a lot of farming, but there are some of us that do. And we need to consider these commands. Leviticus 25, in which this is basically reiterated. Leviticus 25, and starting in verse 3, "6 years you shall sow your field. The 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop." All these things you should do for 6 years. Kind of like the weekly week that we have. We work 6 days, and then we take a break. But it says in verse 4, "But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall not sow your field, nor prune your vineyard. Your harvests after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year." And that's what a sabbatical is, according to Scripture. It's not about, taking a break from studying the Word or taking a break going and doing worldly things. That can have consequences. And so we need to stay focused in Yahweh's Word, and we need to draw closer to Him, especially as we see things happening in the world. And one of the things that we see is a restoration. We see a restoration of sabbaticals. We see a restoration of the names, the sacred names of our Father and His Son. And we are told that we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. So it's very important that we tend to scriptural study and to, in prayer, come before Yahweh daily to seek His will in our lives. Now David, as you may recall, said that he was smarter than all of his teachers because he meditated upon the laws of Yahweh. I mean, that's something to consider. And so I guess to answer the questions, are commandments just suggestions? Certainly the commandments are commandments, period. Well, what did Israel learn in keeping commandments and not keeping commandments? Can we find out? Let's go over to Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10 gives us some insight. In verse 31, it says, "As for the peoples of the land who bring ware..." Now, let me just preface this as this is the time that they came back into the land after being in captivity. Why were they in captivity? Well, we'll visit that. But they were restored to the place that they had once been. And they are now very carefully obeying Yahweh's word. Nehemiah 10, verse 31, it says, "And for the peoples of the land who bring wares or any grain," and we can look at "as for the peoples of the world," for example, "who bring wares or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath day or a holy day, and we will forego the crops the seventh year, and the exaction of every debt." The debts were also forgiven on the seventh year, and we'll take a closer look at that. But they were obedient. They were careful to obey the Sabbaths, the holy days, and also the sabbaticals, which are a part of Yahweh's times that are appointed. And they're very specific times. I suppose we could look at ourselves and relate to how they must have felt. Have we been taken away from anything? And have we been restored to it with joy and happiness and a zeal to study the Word, to do other things that will help? Maybe we consider those things that maybe we hadn't done before that we want to do now. And so we think about these things, and I think we can relate a little bit to Israel at this time. Of course, this is just part of Israel. But in 2 Chronicles, we read that there was punishment for not keeping the sabbaticals. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and starting there in verse 20, it says, "Those who had escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, and they were servants to him and to his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths," those sabbaticals, "all the days of its desolation that kept Sabbath until 70 years were complete." 490 years, 7 times 70, is something to consider and look into. But they were punished for not keeping the Sabbaths. And we have to be careful in how we are to be obedient to Yahweh. And we have to consider, and I think we have considered, were we not as careful as we should have been? Is there anything that we were at fault with concerning the laws or love for one another during times when we've been taken away from those things that we desire and love and care about? Over in Leviticus 26, we find blessings and cursings laid out. And there are blessings, certainly, for keeping the laws. Leviticus 26, chapter 2 through 5. "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahweh. If you keep, or if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out," notice if you will, then "I shall give you rains in their season so that the land will yield its fruit and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. Indeed, your threshing will last for you until grape gathering, and grape gathering will last until sowing time, and you will thus eat your food to the full and live securely in the land." Do we want to live securely in the land? Do we want to have food on our table? It comes about with blessings from Yahweh. It comes about by being obedient to Him to receive those blessings. Because as you read on, starting there in verse 14, you read of curses that are there for those that don't take heed to Yahweh's instructions. He starts out in verse 14, "But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments," and then it says what will happen. And many people today suffer because they are not being obedient to Yahweh. If a father says to his child, "Do not touch a hot stove," is there a blessing to that child for not doing so? Is there a blessing even to the father for the child to not do so? there's a blessing to the Father even. And we are to bless our Father by doing what He says. There's, of course, the saying in Scripture, you shall reap what you sow. There's consequences for things that we do. And if we are following Yahweh as best as we can, He'll bless us. And we'll be blessed by receiving of the blessings that automatically come from doing those things that are right in His sight. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. In continuing to seek what did Israel learn, we find that their example is for us today. What they did wrong, what they did right. We are to examine the Old Testament. Today you have some that want to throw out the Old Testament. Yet this is what they had in the New Testament. And this is what the disciples looked at. This is what they quoted from. This is what Joshua quoted from. And he quoted saying, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh, we are to live by. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, now these things happened to them, to Israel, as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So we learn so much by reading and what happened to Israel and the blessings they received for doing right versus those things that they did wrong. So what did Israel learn? They learned that they, as children, need to obey their father. And in doing so, there are blessings. And in not doing so, there are curses. Do we want to be identified as Yahweh's people? Let's go over to Ezekiel 20 and verse 20. Ezekiel 20 and verse 20. Says, sanctify, set apart, keep them holy, that is, my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. When Yahweh blesses us, do we know it's from Him? Do we think about that? And when things don't go right, don't we question, what did I do wrong? Well, sometimes things happen, and it's not necessarily because we did anything wrong. It's just that, there are things that help us to grow and to endure, to gain endurance. But sometimes we do have things wrong in our lives, and we need to correct those things. It's a growing process. I mean, none of us come into this knowing it all. And none of us should think that we do know it all, even after we've been here for a number of years. Wasn't it Paul that warned that knowledge puffs up, but love is something that we really should be seeking after? But we have to live in spirit and in truth. We have to know the truth. We have to walk in the truth and walk on higher ground. Just as Joshua emphasized the laws, we also emphasize the laws, and we do some of these physical things to learn spiritual lessons. Now notice that we need to be careful about how we deal with each of the Sabbaths, because Ezekiel 20:20 says Sabbaths plural, sabbaticals, the weekly Sabbath, high Sabbaths. Yahweh has them laid out throughout Scripture that we are to do these things. Leviticus 23 is a good starting point. They are all important. Do we want to be identified as Yahweh's people? I certainly think the answer is yes. Because in that, there are blessings. Because Yahweh takes care of His people. In many ways, we don't see just how all that is. But at many times, we do see the blessings that we receive. But how do we know what year is a sabbatical? if you have thought about the sabbaticals, how do you prove the sabbaticals? Well, I think if we go into history and look at some of the dates, we can pretty much see that there is some uniformity, even though there are years and years in between some of those dates. I read through a book called The Star That Astonished the World by he's now the late Dr. Ernest L. Martin. He passed away here a few years ago. But in this book that was, it's a second edition, and the year in it is 1996, gives some insight into a number of things, and it's really a useful reference work to look through. But notice what he says on page 249 here on concerning some of the dates. We are told by First Maccabees, which is a historical good reference source. A lot of scholars look at that as for historical reference. But it says, we are told by First Maccabees 6:49 that Judas Maccabees' defeat at Beth Zur was in a sabbatical year. And this can be dated to the sabbatical year from autumn 163 to autumn 162 B.C. He says Josephus, the Jewish historian, he's a first century historian that a lot of scholars also reference. He says it shows the murder of Simon the Hasmonean as happening in the sabbatical year of autumn 135 to autumn 134 B.C. Josephus shows Herod's conquest of Jerusalem as occurring in the last part of the sabbatical year of 37 to 36 B.C. King Agrippa, the first recited the section of Deuteronomy which a king was required to do as associated with a sabbatical year, Deuteronomy 31:10 through 13. I believe that's referencing the reading of Deuteronomy during the sabbatical. But it says he performed in that time, which historically shows that Agrippa's sabbatical year was A.D. 41 to 42. A papyrus document written in Aramaic has recently been found in Palestine, which is dated to the second year of Nero. And it says that that year was a sabbatical year. Thus, A.D. 55 to 56 was a sabbatical. A reference in the second century Jewish work called the Seder Olam can be interpreted as showing the temple at Jerusalem being destroyed in a sabbatical year. That would have been A.D. 69 to 70. Dated documents have been found concerning the Bar Kokhba revolt of the Jews against the Romans, which show that the year A.D. 132 to 133 was also a sabbatical year. The ruins of an ancient synagogue have recently been uncovered, which have a date in a mosaic for the Jewish year 4000, and that it was the second year of a sabbatical cycle. This answers to A.D. 237 to 38. There is a reference in the Jewish Talmuds, Sanhedrin 97b, which we normally don't reference at all because they have come up with oral laws, which we, and even Yahshua, was really harsh on the Pharisees for going with because it put to nothing Yahweh's law, which we are to be obedient to. And we are to follow our Father's instruction, just as the Messiah did. And we're to walk in his footsteps. And he didn't sin not once. There's a reference in the, going on here, there's a reference in the Jewish Talmud, Sanhedrin 97b, that the Messiah will release the world from its bondage and corruption in the year after 4291 of the Jewish calendar. Since it was believed this would occur in a sabbatical year, this reference becomes important, though the prophecy did not occur because the year after 4291 was A.D. 531 to 532, and it was sabbatical. Now he comes up with some other things, but there is, if you look at all these dates, whether you go forwards or backwards, they're all in increments of sevens, showing that the dates are accurate to sabbatical. For us even today as we look for this coming next year of Atonement 2008 to Atonement 2009, which is would be the sabbatical that is dated. from these dates. And also, there are other dates. There are other references, other dates that are mentioned. But notice that Dr. Martin mentions here, though over the past few centuries, historians studying the records about sabbatical years have been able to arrive at their former sequence within a year or two, only within the last 50 and especially the last 30 has it become possible through archaeological discoveries, etc., to determine with an almost certainty what the exact sabbatical year's sequence was and is. This can be known from 163 B.C. to the present. And when we think about things being restored and that there must be a restoration before Yahshua's return, I find it profound that some of these things are being known to us today. It has been within the last 100 years that clearly we see what the name of the Father is, Yahweh. It's not Allah, it's not some other name, it's not Jehovah, that's erroneous, which most of the scholars agree. And a lot of the Bible scholars today are using Yahweh in their reference works and even have put the name Yahweh back into its rightful place in Scripture, which the Jews, because of their ineffability, took out. Well, we know these things, and we know that there's a restoration that's taking place. And since we know these things, we should be careful to be obedient, just as the Israelites were when they came back from captivity, when they were read the law and they found that they should be doing certain things. We should be careful to do certain things as well. Some of these other references that I have found, I'll be putting into an article. In fact, the article is pretty much written, and hopefully it'll come out in the Beacon, the YAY Beacon magazine. But I think it should be helpful for those that may question when a sabbatical is. I think it's important that we know when it is and that we observe it as Yahweh tells us to. We're still a physical people. We're still on physical land. There's still things to do. And we learn spiritual lessons from doing physical things. Even the Apostle Paul brings that out with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He says, don't keep it with malice and wickedness. You know, keep it with love, but keep it. He himself kept the day of Pentecost. And he hurried, if at all possible, to be able to keep that. So we have these things in Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, that we know that we ourselves should be doing today, because they'll be being kept in the kingdom. Even the sabbaticals, the Jubilee is referenced in Ezekiel, I think, chapter 46, as being something that will be kept in the kingdom. So, in the past, current, in the future, kept by the disciples at that time, it's a lesson for us. Can we grow anything during a sabbatical year? Let's go back to Leviticus 25, chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 23, it says, the land, moreover, shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are but aliens and sojourners with me. That was the instruction. Do they still have the land? Well, some things have happened. But does that mean that Yahweh can't reach out and bless us where we're at with our lands, in our situation, at our home? Yahweh's hand is not so short. His arm is not so short that he can't. And we have to understand that obeying Yahweh is faith-based. It was accounted to Abraham as faith for his obedience. They're one and the same. And in fact, James says that faith was without works is basically dead. Let's go over to Leviticus well, dropping down to 25 and verse 4. It says, "But during the seventh year the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to Yahweh." A lot of people, I hear them say, well, that's the feast of the Jews, or that's the that's the Jewish Sabbath. But Yahweh is working with all of Israel back at this time. It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for Ephraim as well. And he says he's going to bring Ephraim and Judah back together. And he's going to put them back in the land. Now we have the ability to be grafted in and be a part of. I mean, Yahshua was a Jew from a Jewish descent. Will we not be a part of Israel? Will we not be his brother when we are immersed into his saving name and through his blood? Do we not become part of the family? We become part of the family. We become part of Israel. Where was I? Verse... For it says, "During the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath, a rest, a Sabbath to Yahweh." And really, the laws are Yahweh's. It's not Moses' law. I mean, the law was given to Moses for the people, but it wasn't Moses'. It was Yahweh's. It says, "You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard." It says... this for a reason. We are to be observant to this. Now, it doesn't say that, not to plant a flower near your front door. It doesn't say, anything like that. It says specifically, and it's talking about fields for profit or for food, like a garden might be. And those things we want to make sure we don't touch during the sabbatical. Leviticus 5 and verse 7. Is that what I wanted? "If he cannot afford a lamb, then he shall bring in the guilt offering." That's not what I was looking for. It must be back to Leviticus 25, verse 7, maybe. And of course, Hebrews talks about, speaking of sacrifices like that, Hebrews does talk about a change in the law. That change put in abeyance the physical sacrifices, those blood sacrifices. But we still have things that we have to do today, and we come before Yahweh's throne with incense of prayer and with song, and it's a delight for him to be hearing these things from us. But in Leviticus 25, and let's try verse 7. Maybe I was thinking verse 5. Let's go to verse 5. "Your harvest aftergrowth you shall not reap, and your grapes or untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year. All of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food, you yourself and your male, your female servants, and hired man, your foreign residents, those who live as aliens with you." One of the point that I was wanting to bring out here... Oh, okay. It is 7. "Even your cattle and the animals that are in your land shall have all its crops to eat." Now, the way things are today, I mean, it's almost like it's in line with an ox in the ditch. I mean, you want to help that ox, and being this is would be a sabbatical as being referred to here. It seems that there are some things that can be done, but it would be a great time to do other things that have not to do with growing crops or vineyards, like painting the house or building a deck, etc. But as far as baling hay and something for cattle, I perceivably that could be done at this time. Well, how about a third tithe? A lot of people say tithing is done away with. Well, how does the work grow without financial responsibility, without following Yahweh's word? Of course, there's a first and second. The second is so that we can keep the feast days, so we can enjoy the sojourning feasts that are commanded, that we can draw closer to Yahweh and enjoy the time with Him and with other brethren. And of course, even some today don't think we necessarily have to meet on the Sabbath, but yet these were holy convocations. There were times that we are to come together and to fellowship. And even in the New Testament it says don't stop from gathering together. I mean, do these things. But the third tithe, let's go over to Deuteronomy 14. How does this tie into a sabbatical? Let's take a look at that. It says, at the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year. Excuse me. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 28. And at the end of every third year, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in that year and shall deposit it in your town. The Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance among you, and the alien, the orphan, the widow, who are in your town, shall come and eat and be satisfied in order that Yahweh your Elohim may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Third year. How would you figure a third year? It has to be from the sabbatical. Once every 7 years, not every third year. So from the sabbatical when it starts, that third year. Let's go to Leviticus 23. And what is that third tithe for? It's for the poor. Yahweh is very concerned about the poor, and we need to be aware of brethren that are in need and help them. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, moreover, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy and the alien. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. He's saying, help the poor, not just every third year, every year. But there is a third year that we are to keep in mind as well. Deuteronomy 26, something interesting here that has convinced me that the third year of the sabbatical, or well, in the sabbatical process, the third year within that, we find is called a year of tithing. And that's in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, then you shall give it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the orphan, to the widow, that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. The year of tithing. Why would it be called a year of tithing? Because it's the only year that there is one, two, three tithes. So how about the third tithe? We are instructed to do it. However, the government, both federal and state, do subsidize many of the local welfare programs in this country, of the United States. Each country is different, but there is pretty much universal taxation around the world, which in part goes to helping the poor. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't strongly consider this. I mean, if you're paying taxes and you're getting well over a third of your check being taken out, then, you know, over, and especially over a 7 year period, that can certainly add up. But I think we should be taking a closer look at this and being aware that we should help those in our local area. That's what the third tithe is for. It's for the poor. And it's be a good witness, I think, for those in the community. But here's a good one. Should we pay our credit cards? And the sabbatical is a year of release. And even Yahshua talks about that in Isaiah. He referred to Isaiah 61, the first part of it. And, you know, that gets into another realm that Dr. Ernest L. Martin gets into. When did Yahshua start speaking? Was it a sabbatical? He sure makes a good case for it. And the years that are given, I took my calculator because, you know, I'm not a mathematician, but if you do some of the older years that were definitely sabbaticals, and you do plus 7, you go plus, all the way up to into our years, you come, well, and back into his time, you come up with a time that looks accurate. And of course, with our time today, we can figure when our sabbatical, when Yahweh's sabbatical is, so we can be obedient to it. But should we pay our credit card debts? Well, Deuteronomy 15, back about 10 chapters, verse 1 and 2. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts. This is the manner of remission. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because Yahweh's remission has been proclaimed. What did Yahshua proclaim? It looks like that was a sabbatical. Now, it's a good lesson on how to handle finances. And interestingly, in verse 3, it says, but a foreigner you may exact it, but your hand shall release whatever of yours is with your brother. And so I think we can look at it as also the foreigner, if we've borrowed money from a foreigner, that we should pay that back. And of course, the law of the land is such that we need to be obedient in such matters. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 9, dropping down. Beware that there is no base thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and your eye is hostile towards your poor brother, and you give him nothing. Then he may cry to Yahweh against you, and it will be sin in you. What is sin? Transgression of Yahweh's law. Did Yahweh's son sin? His son did not sin. His son kept the law perfectly. He was a perfect sacrifice for us, and we're to follow him in his footsteps. But in verse 10 says, you shall generously give to him, your poor brother, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, Yahweh your Elohim will bless you. Remember the blessings and cursings of Leviticus 26, is it? It says, if you, then you will receive. But if you don't, then you also receive. But it's on the flip side. It's the curses that would be given. And we don't want the curses. We want to do as the disciples did, as it will be done in the kingdom, keeping the Sabbath. As was their custom, so was ours. But here it's emphasized, don't be crooked. You know, don't try to cheat anybody. We are instructed here and elsewhere to deal with honest scales. Nothing's changed. I mean, Yahweh wanted obedience from the heart in the Old Testament. He wants it today the same. But it's in spirit and in truth. You don't just spiritualize everything away. You have to do certain physical things. We are still physical people. Pork is not to be eaten. Why? Because it's bad for our hearts. It's bad for us as a people. But more importantly, because Yahweh says, don't eat pork. Do we have to know why? Can't we just say, Father, you say, don't touch the hot stove. I won't touch it. And I'll be blessed. And Father, you'll be blessed. And there's reasons for these things. So should we pay for our credit cards? Should we pay our credit card debts? Well, if at all possible, yes. Unless you want creditors at your door, And unless you want curses at your door instead of blessings, I strongly suggest you do those things that will bring those blessings. Observe the sabbaticals. Observing the sabbaticals is just one of those things. The sabbaticals have been restored after centuries of neglect. We can now prove when those sabbaticals are. And it's up to us now to observe those sabbaticals since we now know when they are. The next one starts in the fall of 2008 to the fall of 2009, from the autumn of 2008 to the autumn of 2009. From atonement to atonement, as Yahweh's word says. And as Yahshua said, I just have to reiterate it because it's mentioned twice in the New Testament. It's a quote from the Old Testament. We are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless.